Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This will be a very technically advanced investigation.
All right, are my holders ready?
Taser, taser, taser.
We had a bit of a challenge there.
Okay? This is a part of our history, the same as others. Maybe not one that everybody is proud of.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, till 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show. And very happy to be with you here. The truth is our bitch. Let's turn that off. Jesus. I'm telling you, man, one of these days I'll just take a fire axe to all of this. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry show. We have Larry Grover is going to be on with us here in just a moment. And we also have later on Mavis Leonard, who'll be talking with us about school and about kids and about discipline. And this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots each and every night here. We try to give it to you as honestly and as straight and as... Now, watch out, man, because I'm actually going to try to play something off this wave cart. Whoa, it works. Okay, that 877-876-PHIL. So that works. All right, that's good. And a couple of notes to make, as we usually do here at the beginning of the program. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on WQRT 1160 AM in Cincinnati and KLWN 1320 in Lawrence, Kansas. And we've had so many people asking, where can I hear the show? If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, we've got an affiliate list there. And who knows? There might be an affiliate near you. Check it out. If not, we've got live streaming video of the show right now, as well as live streaming audio of the show on our video cast, and you can check that out. And we're in high-definition video, so it's Phil TV in HD. And if you're watching the video cast, you wonder, where is Phil? What is that? We're in our sewer. This is Studio 3. It's basically just a converted sewer. And those two empty pipes there behind me, generally I just put personal effects there now, that used to be where raw, stinking sewage, I don't know.
Man, what the hell, man? They clean that out?
Yeah, they cleaned it out. It's been a long, long time ago. So we took over this building, and I don't know what it was. At one point, it was some kind of a medical lab. At another point, I think it was an insane asylum. At another point, I think is where, I don't know what it was. Nonetheless, that's where we are tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. Don't forget, when you're on our website, we do want you to take advantage of our shop. That is the Phil Hendry Show merchandise shop, and we've got our brand-new Phil Hendry Show coffee mugs in there for you guys to enjoy, as well as our shot glasses. This week we'll have our T-shirts, and all of our legacy CDs are there, the best of Phil Hendry from 2005 back to 1997, and we're planning a new series of downloads for you very, very soon. Onward!
Woo!
Yeah, all right, good. Larry Grover joining us from Conservatives of Kern County, and the 2012 elections now become quite a reality. This is 2011. It seemed like only yesterday, Larry, we had a presidential election. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing very good, as a matter of fact, and I'm very grateful that you've allowed me on the program tonight.
Well, allowed you on the program, of course. One of the things that we did want to discuss were the slate of candidates that conservatives of Kern County would be endorsing, who you might endorse for president. And then you have a political announcement to make. Is that correct?
That is correct, Bill.
By the way, who is your pick for president?
Right now, I'm still very much a Mike Huckabee man. I have been for many, many years. But I may at this particular point swing over to Romney. I don't know. It just depends on how viable Romney is. I think that Romney is maybe the most electable of any of the candidates the Republican Party can put forward right now. But, again, we'd have to wait and see.
You are planning a run for Congress yourself.
I am, Phil. I'm going to put my name in the ring, if you will, throw my hat in the ring for the office of United States Congress in our district here in Culver City, California.
And what district number is that, do you know?
I don't have that with me right now, but it is a significantly, it's a good-sized district and covers a good portion of the Los Angeles metro area out here on the west side.
You're going to be running for Congress, and I'd heard something about this, Larry. It doesn't come as a complete surprise. You had a one aborted run at State Assembly 2 years ago. This is going to be a much tougher road to hoe.
It will be. And one of the reasons why I wanted to be on your program this evening was to, first of all, introduce myself to any of your listeners who are not familiar with me. And secondly, make sure that I am being completely candid, and that I am I'm actually practicing what a lot of these candidates say they practice and they don't, which is full disclosure. And I have a long-standing record as a conservative, as a member of the Republican Party. I have one instance in the last 12 months out of a lifetime of 45 years that I do want to bring to the attention of yourself and your listeners, and that was a relationship that I had with a young woman who made claims to me that she was of age, and she was not. We dated for about 4 months. We were intimate, and when I found out that she was, in fact, not of legal age, I immediately suspended and cut off all contact with her. And certainly I talked to very good friends of mine who are here in the 33rd District. But thank you very much. Pat Mullen is one of our advisors. Gave me it's the 33rd District, Phil.
33rd Congressional District.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, but before we get into that, let's talk about this indiscretion with a young woman who was not 18, correct?
That is correct.
Now, I want to ask you, did you run afoul of the law?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. There was no arrests. There was no nothing like that.
Did you run afoul of her family? You know, like a father?
No, there was nothing that I was not able to handle. Let me put it that way. There's going to be, you know, obviously there's going to be some contact and questions and what, you know, what happened. And it was nothing that I was not able to handle.
Now, let me ask you, you said she was not of age. How old was she?
She was under the age of 18. And at this particular time, I don't feel it's important. And, Phil, I don't really think that you need to feel it's important so much as that we say, and the message is clear, that I'm being candid.
Well, I think it is important. I mean, you know, Larry, I've spent my entire life in the media and my entire life in public relations and marketing. So I know that perception is everything. So what we want to do, you know, Larry, if you're very serious about this run, and
well, I am very serious, and it's why that it's one of the reasons why I've decided to come out early and declare, and it's one of the reasons why I've decided to come out early and declare, and also let people know what may be in my background that they would like to know. I don't want to hide anything. And I have nothing to hide, with the exception of this incident.
How long ago was this?
This was last summer.
Last summer. And you don't want to tell me how old she is?
I don't. Well, I think when I tell you that she's under the age of 18, she was not 18. And I think that that's all that needs to be said about that. And
well, again, I believe in the perception in the mind of the listener is, if she was 17 and a half as opposed to 13...
Well, no, but the law says, and it's very, very clear, and when you say perception, it's already, I think, if you will, bad enough, but I don't think me being honest about it makes it quite as bad. If I hit it, I think it would be bad. And
well, you're not answering my question. Look, I you know, I've known you a long time, Larry. If you're running for public office, I think that you are a long time and a very hardworking conservative, and that's exactly the kind of candidate here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots that we want to see.
Thank you.
And we want, and certainly your work ethic cannot be questioned. You have written, you have spoken, you are a guy that carries the message. So, as a candidate for the United States Congress, I don't think that we could offer a better name. And, of course, we want to see who else the voters are going to want to see this.
Absolutely. And, Phil, I stand ready to debate any one of them, anyone that happens to think they're ready for this job.
Who do you think as well? I don't even want to get into that right now because we do have a... It's a touchy situation.
Well, Pat Caldwell is one. Pat Caldwell is one. Steve Mullen, who is Jim Mullen's brother, who works for me, Steve is going to be another one. But I don't think either one of them have, quite frankly, my intelligence. I don't think they've got my experience. I don't think they can connect. And I think this is a very key thing, Phil, connect with a voter the way that I can.
All right, but we got to get back to this the reason why you got on the show here tonight.
Yes, sir.
And that is that you had a relationship with an underage girl
Well, you say girl. She was a young woman.
Well, you say under the age of 18.
That is correct. But I would say to you is I would appreciate if you would refer to her as a young woman, because what happens in the mind of these people that are listening to your program tonight, who are going to follow, I think, your lead, Bill. If you say, she's a young woman, I think they're going to follow your lead, because this is dangerous territory for me.
Yeah. What makes you think they're going to follow my lead? People understand the difference between a girl and a young woman and a woman.
Well, here's my fear, that there is such, in the world of listening and viewing and the consumers of entertainment or media are easily swayed. I mean, look at how many people Charlie Sheen gets for a show. You know, this is not brain surgery. And so I'm asking you to refer to her as a young woman, if you could.
Okay, I'm happy to do that, Larry, but I'm concerned about the issue here of how old she is.
I told you she's under the age of 18, sir.
And how old was she?
Right now, that is not anything...
Look, a scandal like this can hurt the GOP. Liberal media will use this against the entire party. Do you understand? This has happened already, okay?
No, they're not going to use this.
No, this has already happened. You've seen it a million times. The liberal media gets a hold of this kind of thing, and the first thing they do is they call the entire conservative movement of the Republican Party hypocrites, because we have stressed over and over our belief in family value, in good moral behavior, outward moral behavior at least, that we want from our candidates and we want from our citizens. And when you come out with this kind of thing...
That is exactly why I've come on your program, to be honest about it. That's exactly why I'm on your program here, telling you I dated a young lady under the age of 18.
But I need to know how old she was.
I believe I've answered your question, sir.
And no, you have not answered my question. And again, I'm going to tell you that you have set yourself up here, okay?
Well, I came on your program tonight so that I could talk about my candidacy.
I'm happy to do that, but you also came on the show to talk about this bit of information that you want to get out in front of the people.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm telling you, having been in media, having been in public relations and journalism and PR all of my professional life, I'm telling you that the liberal media takes this kind of ambiguity and they turn it into, my God, they'll turn it into Nuremberg. They'll turn it into a war crime. They'll turn it into the worst thing that could possibly... Can you imagine someone like Huffington getting a hold of this? Can you imagine Huffington when she's not having a meeting with Joel Stein or some other guy that, you know, all these heavyweights and heavy hitters that she's rubbing elbows with now that she's a multimillionaire? You imagine what she's going to do with this?
It's not going to be fair.
Fair? She doesn't know the meaning of the word fair. If you get this into that sheet...
I'm not afraid of Arianna Huffington, if that's what you're saying, and I'm sorry to hear that you are.
And I'm not afraid. I'm not the guy running for Congress.
Well, I am, and I'm not afraid of her, and I know she won't be fair, and I know that she'll try to turn this into something. I went out with I'm telling you, and I'm telling your listeners, that I went out with a young lady. I went out with a young lady in the summer of last year, of 2010. And she was,
What about I want to ask you a question here.
She was not 18.
All right, but what about the damage you're doing to the Republican Party by running, man? Do you understand that right now Obama and the liberal wing, and perhaps not President Obama so much, but the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, they're on their heels, man. They just got their asses handed to them in a congressional election, okay?
I know that, and that's why I'm running. I want to take advantage of that.
I'm telling you that unless you come clean with the age of this girl, you're not going to be doing the party much good. You're going to be hurting the party. And this is just the thing that they like to take, and they like to take people's attention.
I'm not hurting. I think you got me mixed up with somebody else. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm here early telling you I went out with a girl, a young woman, I mean, and she was not 18.
And you don't want to tell me how old she was.
She was not 18, sir.
She was under the age of 18.
That is correct.
Hold the line here. Larry Grover on the line here from Conservatives of Kern County. We have to take a very quick break. I apologize, folks, but I got a little frustrated trying to find out how old this girl is that he went out with. He's running for Congress, 33rd District. He's throwing his hat in a ring, but he had a relationship with a young woman that he says was underage, and he wants to get it out there in the open and tell the voters. Only problem is he's not telling me how old she was. 877-876-PHIL. Your call's next for our guest, Larry Grover. Should he run for office, or is he too much of a liability to the GOP? 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I'm making a big deal out of nothing.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. We've got Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County on the line with us, and our number is 877-876-7445. Larry is on to announce that he is going to be a candidate for the 33rd Congressional District to run for Congress. And, you know, while I congratulate you, you've got something that I think is much, much bigger than you think it is in your background. That is the dating of an underage woman who you did not know was underage. She was, and you were intimate with, and she was not 18, and she was an age that you don't want to tell me.
I don't, Phil, I told you, you're either under 18 or you're over 18. And I think that, here is what I believe, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I honestly I don't think you can. I think that I came on here tonight to tell you very honestly that I was involved with an underage woman. She was not 18. We were intimate. We dated for about 4 months.
How did you find out about her age?
Because I met Tim Capshaw, who's a friend of mine, and he works for her father. And
so this guy told you what?
Told me. What, that she was not of age. I'm not going to. I don't think it's. I think all you need to hear is that this. She was not old enough.
And you didn't have any interaction with her father.
I did not have any interaction with her father. Now, you know what? Here is the point that I want to make. I've been honest with the listeners. I've been honest with the with you. I'm going to be honest with the voters. And I think the only person here that is making a bigger deal out of this than needs to be made out of it is you.
You think so, huh?
Do I think so? I know so. I don't think the average conservative is going to, once I have been honest, because that's the key. And
no, I just told you that I don't think it's the key. You know?
Well, because you tell me that you don't think something's the key, Phil.
I don't think it's the key. I don't think that honesty is necessarily, quote, the key. I think what the key is yes, honesty's important. But I think something else is at play here. I think it is your morality or your moral fiber or however you want to put it. People want to know that they got a guy going to Washington. Okay, look at these guys. Larry, come on. Look at these guys that, what was this guy? Gary Condit with Chandra Levy?
That woman was murdered, sir. That woman was, I never had anything to do with the injuring of any human being. And
well, maybe, all right, it's not a good example, but you know the moral fiber of these individuals that go to Washington, some of them. Sitting there in a diaper, that guy Vitter.
Well, but you know, you want to bring up all these Republicans. What about the Democrats? What about the Democrats? Want to bring up me? I'm a Republican.
But you got to be above that. You can't say the Democrats, Democrats, Democrats. You got to stop doing this stuff, man. Republicans have got to stop. Republicans have got to find out who the guys are in their own ranks that are running for office that are behaving this way and stop them from doing it. Okay. We're sick and tired of electing, excuse me for saying this, we're sick and tired of electing bums into office. We need politicians with moral character.
I will tell you right now that I resent being called a bum, okay?
I'm not necessarily calling you a bum, but I'm saying you got a question to answer here.
I've answered your question. I've answered it a million different ways, and I think your listeners are probably saying to themselves right now, why is Phil Henry beating this into the ground?
I don't think so. I think what they're saying is, how old was this girl?
I told you that she was not 18.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. Marianne in Anchorage, Alaska. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, thank you very much, Phil. I think that as a spokesperson for the Republican Party and someone who wants to be a part of the Republican Party representing us, we need to make sure he gets a reality check. We need to make sure that he realizes that what he did is date a girl. Let's face it, he wants to be out there on policy issues and representing us, and he's dating a girl.
All right, hold on. Marianne, I want you to hold the line. I want you to hold the line, and Larry, you hold the line. I'll have you both back here in just a moment. We are taking our break here at the end of the hour. Our number 877-876-PHIL.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. As we continue talking about his candidacy for the 33rd District, he's admitted to having had an intimate relationship with an underage girl, and we're talking about the damage that's going to do to the Republican Party, Larry. And I do want to get back to my caller. This is... Hold on for a second. We have Marianne on the line, and she is in Anchorage, Alaska. Go ahead, Marianne, and pick up where you left off. You were talking about the viability of his candidacy and so forth.
Absolutely. I question the candidate's judgment. If he is there representing the Republican Party, what in the name of heaven's sake is he doing dating an underage girl? Okay, there are policy issues. There are issues that are so critical. And what we are talking about here is a man that has the lack of judgment, character, and morality to engage in a relationship with someone who is not even of the consenting age. Excuse me, we need politicians that represent the interests of America, the Republican, mantra that we want to hold at the forefront. Dating an underage girl under the age of 18 is not what I hold at the forefront. Come on, she doesn't even have the mental fortitude to understanding what relationship she's entering into.
Well, ma'am, I did not know the age of this young woman when we began dating. When I found out how old she was, I, at that time, told her that we should break off the relationship.
But you haven't, for a couple of things, Larry, you haven't told me how old she was. And I also haven't asked you this question. When you broke this off, when you found out how old she was, did you continue to have intimate relations with her?
I am going to tell, I'm going to be honest with you, which is something you're not going to get from a Democrat, all right? We had one intimate moment.
After you found out this girl was not 18?
That is correct.
And why was that?
Because she was upset that I told her that we were not going to be together, and... If I made a mistake, I'm being honest.
And Phil, this goes to the mental. This goes to the mental fortitude of this young girl. She's vulnerable. She's indecisive. And you know what? We do not need candidates like this representing the Republican Party. Excuse me.
Well, I think I've been very honest. And
You have not been honest. I asked you how old she is.
She's under 18. She's under 18. If you want to let your imagination run wild, go ahead.
Well, you know, Larry, there's a difference between 17 and 12 and 8.
Eight? I told you, we didn't, you know, if she was 8 years old, I think we would have drawn the attention of the police.
All right, how old was she?
I'm telling, she was 15 years old.
15?
Oh, 15. My God.
And you went ahead and you had sex with her.
She was very distraught. See what happens? This, I love this. I'm getting abused because I'm honest. But the Democrats get away with bloody murder. And I think, and you know, as conservatives, we don't stick together, do we? What we do is we drag each other off into the bush like dingoes.
15 years old, man. That's young. And when that gets
That's
out there, when the...
What do you mean when it gets out there? You're broadcasting it to the world right now.
You came on my program and you wanted to be honest.
Well, so what... You're going to tell me that all the years I spent working for the Republican Party as hard as I did, you're going to throw that into an ash can because of some 50... Are you kidding? I'm sorry the lady's on the phone, but I want to talk to you man to man. Do you think you'd pass that up?
What are you talking about, man?
You know what I'm saying.
Marianne, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number
thank
is
877. Thank you so very much. And don't let, this guy off the hook.
Let me off the hook. What you and Mr. Hendry are doing is you basically are dipping me in hydrochloric acid and laughing.
Oh, don't be so dramatic, man. You're running for Congress. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Alan in Orange, California. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thanks, Mr. Hendry. I just want to say that the liberals are going to tear him from limb to limb for no good reason at all.
Not if we stick together.
He must have been in love with her.
7876-PHIL. Al in Durham, North Carolina. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, you know, you got to give him kudos for coming clean, but that certainly doesn't rectify his poor judgment and decision he made. I mean, if how old of a gentleman is Larry?
How old am I? You're asking me my age. I'm 39 years old.
All right, so you're dating someone who could possibly be your daughter.
Well, if I were 56 and she was 30, she could be my daughter.
Oh, no, I understand that, but you're talking about a young woman who's just on the cusp of becoming a woman, and and that's just perverted, man. That's just wrong. And you're
well,
just
not to mention it's illegal. You had let's get down to the point. It's illegal, Larry.
Yeah, but you see what you're doing. This man is not worried about the illegality. He's talking about the morality. That's what I want to talk about. And the morality
is wrong.
Right, because.
So you don't care whether it's illegal or not, Al? Is that it?
Oh, no, you don't care that it's illegal, but it's more immoral than illegal.
Well, he could get a statutory rape charge.
You're trying to talk somebody.
Well, it depends on the state.
Wait. A minute ago, you were on my side. Now you're agreeing with Mr. Hendry? This is what I can't stand about talk radio. A minute ago, this guy was backing me up.
No, he's not. He was calling you immoral. And he felt that that was the larger transgression.
Yeah, and then you said it was illegal and I could get arrested for statutory rape and blah. Well, heck, as long as I got the phone here, why don't I just call the cops? You know, I'm trying to run for Congress and you guys want to put me in jail.
You know something?
No, I don't want
if
to
there's
put
a
you
reason.
In jail. I just don't want to put you in Congress. That's poor judgment. You're supposed to be of a higher moral fiber than the rest of us.
Do you know the difference between a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old? No, you don't. And
What if you're that old, man? And not that old, but if she's that young, why don't you just stay away from women that age? And the fact that you went ahead and had sex with her one more time after you found out she was 15.
What's going on here is...
Yes, 15 years old, sir.
And telling me that you need a 15-year-old girl to tell you she's 15, you can't tell?
I was under the impression she was 18, and I admitted that she was under 18, and I said to Mr. Hendry that I didn't need to know to tell everybody her age, then he pushed it out of me.
No.
You
I
knew that she.
And kudos for you for coming clean. Pulled out a whole kitty pocketbook. You didn't realize she was 15.
I can only tell you that you and Mr. Hendry, you don't have any experience dating younger women. They don't pull out a kitty pocketbook.
Of course I dated younger women.
I don't have experience dating 15-year-old women.
Well, this guy says that he did.
When I was in high school.
How old were you when you dated a 15-year-old? Listen to this guy.
He said when he was in high school.
16, 17.
Well, when they're with an older, when they don't want to impress a guy like you, they'll pull out the kitty pocketbook.
All right, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Talking here with Larry Grover about him coming on our program tonight and announcing his candidacy for the 33rd District of Congress, but in the process saying... admitting to an affair or relationship with an underage woman. He didn't know she was underage until he found out the girl was 15. And Larry, you are still here wanting to run for Congress. And
of course, yes, I'm here wanting to run for Congress because I thought that conservatives stuck together. And I thought that Republicans stuck together. And I didn't think that we turned on each other like rabid dingoes And the reason why I use that word dingo, if you remember, there was a dingo in Australia that took a baby and took it into the woods, and I don't want to tell you the rest of that story, but I think you're going to, it was a Meryl Streep movie that I seen. But what I'm pointing out here is...
I know, you think it's disloyalty. You don't think that this is proper vetting. You think it's disloyalty, and I think that that is a completely wrong way of looking at things. Here is Emily in Winston-Salem. Go ahead, Emily. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I have a 14-year-old daughter, and in her language, it's called an epic fail. I'm done. I'm not going to vote for you. I need someone that's going to make informed decisions, that's going to look at things from many directions. They're not going to just take what they see and accept it the way it is. How do you do that? As one person?
Here is what I would say to you. One of the things you need from leadership is also to learn very rapidly from mistakes, because even our own Republican leadership has made terrible mistakes. And when you learn rapidly from those mistakes, then you're able to put into practice a game plan that is much sounder than your opponent. All right, I went out with a 15-year-old for 4 months. 4 months. Is that a year? No. Is that 10 years?
For 4 months, you didn't know this girl was 15.
Too long. And you had relations after you broke it off, which says to me that you didn't learn rapidly, which is what you're saying you need to do.
Exactly. How did you learn there?
She was upset.
Well, did she say she wanted to have sex?
Mr. Hendry, this is extremely intimate.
You came on this program, to be honest.
I assume that's what she wanted.
Boy, is this sick.
You know, I think
now,
it's unfair,
now we're making assumptions, and that's not a safe thing to do either. I need people that are going to look at the whole picture, and if you learn rapidly, you wouldn't have done it again.
Look at this. Obama is president. Now all of a sudden, everybody's got religion. We need some people that are really, you know, got... How did I get...
Not religion. Not religion. It's just good stuff.
Everyone's...
People want leaders that are not going to equivocate, that are not going to lie, that are not going to, prevaricate, that are not going to kind of fudge around with the truth, that are not going to rationalize. We want people, if a cat made mistakes and he's out front and he's doing great things for the country, this is a country that can deal with that. But if you are equivocating and rationalizing and...
You know, you're using a lot of words no one understands. Nobody understands equivocate. Who do you think you're, William F. Buckley?
Justifying. Same thing.
All right. Yes, Emily, thank you so much for your call.
Hold on a minute. This woman just said to me she's the mother of a 14-year-old girl who said it was an epic fail.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said, ma'am?
Those are her words.
Okay.
That's how a 14-year-old speaks.
That's what she said about me? Because that's exactly what this girl said to me, and I'm wondering if the two of them know each other.
It's something the way kids talk.
Well, she said to me that I was an epic fail when she found out.
When she found out what?
That I knew how old she was.
All right, I don't understand that.
That didn't make sense.
Oh, God.
Thank you for looking out for us, Phil.
Thank you very much, Emily. Our number 877-876. I just turned myself off there. Which is probably a good idea.
Some nights.
That's right. Some nights it's just better to just switch yourself off. This conversation with Larry Grover... You know, this guy should never, in my opinion, what he's basically said here is he had a relationship with an underage woman for 4 months last summer. He wants to get it out there in the open because he wants to be honest. And in being honest, he's hoping that that the electorate will see what an honest guy is. Now we find out the guy, he didn't want to say how old she is. She's 15. 15 years old. And he went ahead and had sex with her when he found out. As a goodbye, whatever. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And lots more to come. Mavis Leonard will be up with us next hour to talk about classroom discipline, but more of your calls ahead for Larry Grover on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and also online at philhendryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I don't think you have a congressional race. We're talking with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. I don't think you have a congressional race to go to, because I think if the liberal media that you're afraid of picks up on this interview tonight, and the fact that you dated a 15-year-old girl, and the fact that you knew she was 15 the very last night that you dated her, and when you finally found out she was underage, that you still went ahead and were intimate with her, when they get a hold of that, you're not going to have a congressional race.
I think the liberal media, Mr. Henry, is going to believe what people tell them. And if we can turn this in a direction, this interview in a direction, whereby my personal life is a reflection of my struggles and the fact that I dated a... You know, my wife and my kids left me. I mean, no one's talked about the divorce. They haven't talked about Marcy and the girls leaving. And so I look like I'm just a single pervert sleeping on a cot in my mother's house, which I am sharing my house with my mother, and it is her house, but I stand to inherit it. And all of these things are, but you're just telling me, I came on here to be honest, and you've taken my honesty, and you've taken my honesty, and you've beat it up.
And I've taken your honesty and beat it up?
That's right.
1-877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Barbara here in Pensacola, Florida. Go ahead, Barbara. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hi.
I don't think you just beat it up. Hi.
I consider myself an open-minded professional, but the more I listen to this man, I kind of think this isn't real, is it? I mean, he can't really be.
If you're really running for Congress, you've just butchered your chances.
No, I have not just butchered my chances, and yes, I am running for Congress. You know, here's the interesting thing. People say they want honesty. When they get honesty, no, they don't. That's what I find to be the most hypocritical thing.
Well, it's hard to believe you're serious about running for Congress.
Right. Really?
When you come on here and talk about a 15-year-old.
I'm here talking to conservatives and Republicans because they understand honesty. Are you a Republican, ma'am?
I am a Republican, and I
all right.
Why am I not accorded the courtesy
you'd give a liberal?
Well, I do not like the liberal media either. But you don't even need the liberal media. You just don't have a chance in the world. I mean,
my point was if Republicans and conservatives will stick together, but when I'm thrown to the dogs the way
we do stick together, we stick together for moral interpretude, and we would be just like the Democrats if we allowed, you know, this type of behavior. I mean,
exactly.
why are you having sex with somebody but you don't know well enough to know their age? What kind of judgment is that?
The young lady, yes, I did. The young lady told me she was 18. And I believe
why should they have to? I mean, you know, did you know her name?
Of course I did.
Oh,
of course I did.
You knew her. Well, that's good. I mean,
I'm not exactly sure. Well, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but of course I knew her name. And she told me she was 18.
All right. So what people have been saying to you here, and you're not hearing this.
You can't tell the difference, but you don't have judgment to tell the difference between the knowledge of even an 39-year-old married man with an 18-year-old. Give me a break, you know?
Let me ask you this, Barbara. That's not good judgment.
Let me ask you this.
What if I said to you, and I had just met you, hi, Barbara, how old are you? 18. You would be flattered. You'd be very flattered. You wouldn't question my judgment. You'd be flattered by that. And you would think that I was a nice guy and that I saw beauty in you maybe that other men didn't see. But
I don't think it would take a long stretch for me to think that you were a nice guy. I mean, serious.
If I met you and I said, I think you're 18, you would be all over me in a New York minute.
Oh, come on, will you?
You know she would.
I think you're really repulsive. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I think it's so repulsive that I think that it's got to be a form. I've never called a radio station before.
Well, that's not honesty.
Can't be real.
You're not being honest there. You're not being honest there saying that you've never called a radio station. You know
Do
you
I?
Have.
Do
you've
I?
You've called other radio shows. You've called, because I've
oh,
heard
no,
your voice
I've ne- I never have.
No, I think you called Rusty Humphrey a couple times.
I just happen to be a medical director on my way home, driving at night.
Of course.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it, Barbara. 877-876-PHIL. We got one more here. Let's go to Randy in El Centro, California. Go ahead, Randy.
Yes, I think this gentleman needs a wake-up call. I'm a hardline Republican. I'm also involved in... can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you fine. And I'm glad I'm talking to a Republican finally.
Okay, well, I'm also law enforcement. You need to wake up. There's a difference between honesty and an honest man. You're not an honest man. You might be honest speaking right now, but you're not an honest man. You're a 39-year-old with a 15-year-old. That's ridiculous. There's no way you can even mix the two up, all right? If you're that confused and that unstable, you need to go and turn yourself in. That's what you need to do.
So now, because I've been honest, now you want to split hairs and say, well, I'm honest, but I'm not an honest man. And now
it's black and white. Why do you want to split hairs? Why do you want to even put terminology in there that won't even confirm?
You're an honest man. There's
honesty and there's not a span. Now I got to go out with a 15-year-old, and then after you find out he's 15, continue the relationship. There's the crime. Okay? You've already stepped into a realm. You need to go and get help, turn yourself in.
All the
stuff you've done in your whole life is.
Right.
Phil and.
6 to 4 hours, I'm telling you.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think what they're looking for me is the same thing that they're looking from Speaker Boehner.
Give off any answer would no.
I know there was a concern about visibility.
All right, are my holders ready?
I hate sex toys.
I'm like a slut and a whore.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows, quite frankly, wish they could, but they can't. And they never really will. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's our universe. It's radio for patriots by patriots. Marching together, we know exactly what we want. We want morality. We want patriotism. We want defense. We want high defense spending. That's right. We want the money, in other words, to go to the right things. And we continue pushing for that here in our second hour. Next hour, of course, we have our News and Information Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And, of course, our number, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com, where right now a live streaming video of the show is happening, our webcast. This is Phil TV in HD, Phil TV in HD, high-definition picture, as well as, of course, the audio. And you can get podcast the show tomorrow, but you need a backstage pass for all of that. And that also allows you access to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, and I ain't kidding, of hours of archive material. 877-876-PHIL, we're very happy to bring on the line a retired teacher right now is actually doing some fill-in and does the occasional substitute work at Joyful Union Congregation is Mavis Leonard. And we're going to talk a little bit about discipline and how things have changed. We had most recently a story in the news about another teacher, and I don't know how many of these we've seen, Ms. Leonard, another teacher duct taping a child's mouth to keep the child from talking, and then telling the child, don't tell your parents. And all of these things, and these teachers, of course, Mavis, female teachers having sex with underage male students now. These are things you didn't see in your time, were they?
Not to the extent that you see them now, Phil. We never saw these unconscionable things that teachers do. But times change, the pressures are different. You're not allowed, to use the corporal punishment.
Right.
You're not allowed any of that. So you have to be a little more creative. But sometimes I'm very sad for what's happened to the teaching profession. Very sad.
And yet we have dedicated teachers like yourself and younger teachers coming in who just keep the ball rolling despite all of the odds and all of the obstacles, huh?
Well, there are some very dedicated people, and no question about it. And of course, we do it for the children, too, and for the students. We love the students, and I have been teaching since the 1960s, so I'm retired, as you mentioned, but I do come in on substitute basis. And one thing that I've noticed, the children are always the same. You know, children is children, no matter what.
So we had this mother that was angry after a teacher taped her child's mouth shut and then asked the child not to say anything. And we have with us here for discussing in-class discipline, Mavis Leonard, our number 877-876-PHIL. What have you, what has been traditionally the solution to hyperactive kids? Now, I know that we've had the, what do you call it, ADD?
Yeah, there have been all kinds.
ADHD?
There have been all kinds of diagnoses for children who are active. But we have, in the past, many years ago, you'd use discipline of different kinds. When they allowed a corporal punishment, you could do that. And sometimes they would allow for you to, we would put a child in the corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to put your hands on a child anymore. You're not allowed to do anything physically that is going to harm. So you have to be creative. And I keep a collection of 8x10 cards in my desk. And I keep that in my file, my briefcase. The different things about different characteristics of a student. And I will use that if a child is talking too much.
What are some of the problems? What are some of the things you face with a kid in the class? They're talking too much?
They talk too much. They're engaged in other activities.
Give me an example of what you've done then. If you've got children that are talking too much, and again, we're talking about this teacher that taped a kid's mouth shut. Obviously, the mother's going to get crazy. I don't know why these teachers do this. What are some of the methods you use?
Well, I'm not going to tape a child's mouth shut. But you can, on an 8x10 card, if you know the student's name, and I try to get as much information as I can, if they have a problem or something, you can bring up to the child in front of the class. And so I use peer pressure.
What do you mean by peer pressure? You mean the pressure of the other students?
Well, we had a boy who was drawing in class, a young man by the name of Eric, and I had told him to stop drawing pictures in class, and he would not stop. And so I brought up, I had him stand up. I said, now, I have asked you to stop drawing in class. You not stop drawing in class. And I said, I know last week you went to the bathroom in your pants, didn't you? And you can see right away that he is getting very embarrassed.
Oh, man.
That's right. And he started crying and he went down to the principal's office. They told me, he said he was looking for razor blades and this kind of thing. And I know these children are...
He was looking for a razor blade?
Because they like to cut themselves. But I said to her, do you think he's going to be drawn?
Who are you talking to?
I was talking to the assistant principal. I said, you think he's going to be drawn in class? And guess what? I've had him back now 2 weeks. He hasn't even picked up a pen or a pencil. And
So when you say peer pressure, it's humiliation.
I don't look at it that way, Bill. For instance, you asked me an example. This is not humiliation. We had a girl who is claustrophobic. And I had her stand in the corner. And I knew that the claustrophobia makes her vomit. And I heard, in fact, as I turned to the turned to the whiteboard that we had, I heard the puke splash, the puke splash.
And you heard this girl throwing up?
Yes, I did, because I knew that was going to happen.
Now, what had been, this is a, well, isn't that a form of physical abuse?
No, not at all. Because what you're doing is just with words. You're just saying, you go stand in the corner now. Or you say to another kid, like I told a young lady, I said, now, she was passing notes in class. I said, you're passing notes in class. I said, you know your mama cannot take another note from the teacher. She had a miscarriage.
Oh, my God. You're not in front of the kids.
No, Mr. Henry, you try and keep a classroom full of 10 or 11-year-olds or 12-year-old children quiet.
My God, but you're dealing with an age here where they're really, really sensitive to their self-images.
You try and deal. If you are talking about family values, you try and deal in a classroom full of 11 and 12-year-old children who are acting up like that.
Well, look, I don't blame you if you need to discipline the class and you need all the support you can get, but I don't think that taping a kid's mouth shut is the way to go.
Absolutely, because we have one thing I agree with you on. I'm not a conservative. I'm more of a liberal Democrat, but I do believe in disciplining these children. And I hope that I get a lot of conservative people on my side.
Well, no, you're not going to get a lot of conservative people on your side if you're talking about forcing a girl to stand in the corner knowing that it'll make her sick or you see what I'm saying?
I don't see what you're saying because I'm not touching that child. I'm not doing anything to that child.
Well, what about the kid that stood? Was this a child? Who was the child that was passing notes?
That was one of our young ladies.
And you stood her up and you asked, how's your mother going to feel she had a miscarriage?
You have to listen to me now.
But to me, that's humiliation. That is a humiliation of these children. That's a technique that you're using that is every bit as injurious as if you were smacking them. Isn't the goal here...
Hold on, Phil. I'm the teacher. You're not the teacher. So hold on for a minute. I don't do this as a first resort. This is something I do as a last resort. This is something that I do as a last resort. I don't do it as a first resort.
I understand. Well, how many warnings do you give these kids?
I will tell them, let me say this. It's not a running discussion with a child. You know, I think I'd like you to shut that book, and I think I'd like you to stop drawing. I tell them, stop drawing. Now I look at him again, he's still drawing. I say, are you going to mess yourself like you did last week?
See, when you told that little boy in front of the class that he wet his pants or whatever it was, to me that sounds like a humiliation of that child. What is the response you get from the parents?
We, whenever possible, Mr. Henry, we make contact and we try to get permission from the parents. All right?
So you're getting permission from these parents?
Exactly. Whenever possible.
Well, what does that mean, whenever possible?
We are getting parental permission whenever it is possible. I mean, we make a good faith effort.
So in other words, what you're saying is you sometimes do not get parental permission.
Well, I'm saying that we make a good faith effort to get parental permission and to say to the child, I heard you wet your pants last week, or your mama had a, in the case of this young lady who was passing notes, I knew that her mother had a miscarriage because one of her friends had told me. And so I knew it was not going to be possible for me to call that woman and ask her because she was not feeling well.
So you did not get permission?
In that one instance, as I remember, but, and this is very important, her friend did tell me. So that is indirectly giving me permission to say to her daughter, and look at your mama laying in bed, had a miscarriage, and you passing all these notes acting like a clown. And that's, I can tell you that's successful, Mr. Henry. That's the number one thing you have to understand. I have been successful.
Well, you might have been successful in shutting these kids. I don't know what is going on inside the heads of these kids.
We are not engaged in traumatizing these children. They'll live through it, believe me.
Well, all right. You know, they'll live through it. We don't find that out until much, much later in life, do we? 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mavis Leonard coming up with your phone calls next as we talk about... As we talk to her about school, educating kids and disciplining kids, and what is the best way to do that in this day and age where you can't use corporal punishment, she's using something that, to me, sounds almost as bad. She's humiliating these kids. If you don't stop talking, then we'll tell everybody that you wet your bed, or your mother had a miscarriage in the case of that one girl, or you're claustrophobic, so we'll make you stand in the corner and you throw up. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the program here. We're talking about school. We're talking about discipline. We've had a number of stories in the news. That these stories continue to keep popping up. There's stories about children that are having their mouths taped shut, children that are being locked in closets, children that are being restrained by being tied, autistic children, and so on and so forth. And they're frightening stories. And with me is Mavis Leonard, who is a substitute teacher and has been retired as a substitute. Well, she's been retired as an active full-time teacher for a long time, but she works as a substitute, and you've been around. And the things you're telling me here tonight, Ms. Leonard, are not physically abusive, but you've gone the other tack.
You're talking about, you think it's emotional abuse, don't you?
Yes, I do. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not a teacher, but I'm a parent, and I'm a human being. I mean, look, I want to see criminals get their asses kicked. Excuse my language, please.
Well, that's all right. I've heard a lot worse. Believe me, I've heard a lot worse from my students.
All right. But I mean, I want to see criminals be treated harshly. I want to see the people that deserve to be treated harshly, not students, not kids.
I don't treat these children harshly, Mr. Henry.
So you don't think it's harsh treatment to say to a young woman, "Don't pass notes. Your mother had a miscarriage last night."
I did not say that. First of all, I said she knew that her mother had a miscarriage. I told that child one time, I said, "You don't pass notes in my class." And then I said to her, when I had to say it again, I said, "You know, your mama, if I were you, I would not be causing your mama all kinds of problems because she had a miscarriage, and you know that." And the other child, I said, "You know, you messed your pants."
Boy, that's got to be, that was a little boy, right?
That was a little boy, and if he did not want to be humiliated like that, then he should have stopped drawing, and he should have concentrated. There's another little boy who I said, "You know, you have had a problem with your bit," and he got humiliated. I will never bring this up to try to hurt a child, but if I've got to bring up the fact the child wet his bed, there was another child that played, they found out this child plays with dead animals.
The child does what?
This child plays with dead animals. And I said to this child, "My God Almighty, you ought to hear this one. This boy plays with a dead cat or a dead dog or I don't know what he has found on the road. And he is here in our classroom talking up a storm." And
So the notion here is to humiliate. That's it. And
it is what we call a kind of a verbal restraint, but I do not believe it's humiliation, and it's not physical abuse. That's the number one thing that they have told us we have to get rid of.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call. We have Catherine in Pensacola, Florida. Go ahead, Catherine. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Mavis, what you're doing is corporal punishment. Kids have the...
Please. Go ahead, ma'am.
It causes them to have psychological defects. They have nightmares about something somebody else done. I'm a mother of six. And if someone does that to my child, I will be thoroughly pissed off. Because you have left them.
Do you want that child to be struck? You don't want the child struck. I will not strike a child. I would never want to do that. And you don't want that child any kind of physical abuse. So what I said to that child was simply, "You know, you mess your pants," and he
always... But don't you understand that words have power?
Yeah, that's my
point.
Don't
you understand that? When you do that to a child, it mentally stains them for life?
But no, not for life, because he knows it's true.
Yes, it does.
He knows he did mess his pants.
Yes, it does.
I'm not saying anything to that child that isn't true. I'm not saying you're a fool, you're an idiot, you're...
Who are you to tell a child that? I know that her mom had a miscarriage. Her mother may not want her to know and want to tell
that's
her
right.
in her own time. It is not
what
your
about
place
the fact,
to tell her anything.
What about this fact that you didn't get permission?
I said to you, Mr. Henry, we get permission. We do all we can to get permission. We make a good faith effort.
A good faith effort, but you already said that girl... That the mother did not give permission. The other question I have for you is that when you talk about not abusing these children because you know this is not abuse. Here's a child that is being told in front of the entire class that he wets his bed. You know that little boys, especially when they're coming into their manhood or their adolescence, They don't want to be humiliated like that.
Well, then here's what I say to them. Don't be drawing pictures in my class, and don't be talking and passing notes in my class.
But they're children.
Now, that's clear enough. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
But you're treating them like they're adults. They're kids.
No, if I was hitting them, I would be treating them like adults. I'm not treating them like adults.
No, you might as well hit them. At least a hit will surpass. They'll get over a lick. But if you're mentally abusing them, that always lasts.
You're making a big thing. Did you get stuck as a child?
No, I'm not making a big thing. You are wrong. You are so wrong on so many different levels.
I have to. This is what I got to hear every week from these parents. You are wrong, wrong, and they don't know.
You are so wrong on so many different levels because you are wrong.
How would you keep a child? I told that one little girl, her mother. You know, I said to the girl, I said, you know, your mama had a miscarriage.
And so the little girl knew that her mother.
Want her to know, though. That's not the point you're getting. What if her mom did not want her to know? It was not your place. You are not God. You had no right to tell a little girl that.
A little girl.
And her mother should have said to her, make sure you don't act up in class today because I had a miscarriage that I don't want you to know about. What kind
you
of
know what?
Thing?
Like
that
I said, I have six children, and they're all A, B, honor rolls, and you can tell them all day long not to behave, not to misbehave, excuse me.
And they're going to misbehave.
But they're kids.
They're kids. They're children. All right, thank you very much for your
children.
Call.
They are children.
Thank you, Catherine, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876. Phil, we'll be back with more from Mavis Leonard. How to discipline kids these days. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that goes places other talk shows cannot. Tonight we speak with Mavis Leonard, a retired teacher, and we're talking about the disciplining of students and just exactly how far you can go. And,
to jump in, Mr. Henry, I'm going to say...
Go ahead.
I would never want to lift my hand to a child. I would never want to lift my hand and hurt a child in the manner that some people say, corporal punishment. And I find that when I'm able to restrain the actions of a child by saying to the child, now you know, you draw that picture, and everybody know you missed your pen. Well... that child is not going to do anything. I think that's a successful thing. But people don't like that, so now they're going to say that's corporal punishment. See, they're going to look every which way. They're going to look every which way they can to call me a child abuser, and that's not what I am. But I don't...
I'm not calling you a child abuser. I'm saying that your method is extremely... it seems extremely harsh. It seems as it could be injurious. To the child. 877-876-PHIL. We have Jerome here on the... Hold on for a minute. God. Here is Jerome on the Phil Hendry Show in Bakersfield. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is just extremely bothersome to me to hear a woman who is a educator, a woman that is supposed to build character, establish good moral content in our children, to hear her just blatantly come across as somebody that's chiseling them down to the size of a pea, and that, you know, it's just verbal abuse on its...
I don't agree against any of the
abuses with regards to physicality. I am totally against that, but this, what you're doing, is completely wrong. It's criminal.
I'm an old school teacher. No, it's not criminal. I'm an old school teacher, and I've listened to parents and school boards talking about how they don't want the corporal punishment and so forth. We come up with a way to keep these children quiet and to shut that kid's mouth. So I've got three
kids. Yeah, but by belittling and dropping them down, how do you build a citizen for our nation
was the boy
by
that's all
growing the child's everything that they potential that they have to be by chiseling them down to nothing, taking privileged information
about
a child's mother
was
and throwing that in the middle of a class. On my side.
Put the guest on hold. Get rid. I'm sorry, sir. This is the first time in a 37. I would think that somewhere. And they can't hear the guest. And when we come back, this show is going to be absolutely perfect to the very end, 1 a.m., 4 a.m. Eastern, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry Show here. Mavis Leonard, I apologize, Mavis. I could not hear that last caller, and I couldn't hear you.
I was trying to
877-876-PHIL. We're talking here, and I believe the last gentleman was saying.
First, I want to say one thing. I think that man was a racist.
Who? The guy in Bakersfield?
Yeah, he was a racist.
Why?
Because he called me woman, like I'm the maid. And is he still on the phone?
No, he is not.
Well, I think he is a racist for calling me that. I think a lot of ignorant white people are like that when they don't know anything about education.
Well, what makes you... Now, you're beginning to introduce race into this.
Because that man did. And
he called you a woman, you know.
Well, that's a very typical white man thing to do with an elderly black woman, say woman. But I'm saying to you that I know more about education than that man does, and I don't have to put up with those kinds of words that he used to me. Calling me woman, like I'm the maid, and I've talked to enough of this white trash.
All right, whoa, because we're getting even worse now. If I got to listen to this from you and anybody retorting or reacting to that, then we're just going to have to end this interview. Do you understand?
I don't care. I'm not going to take this kind of abuse.
Nobody's abusing you, Ms. Leonard, yet, I don't think, except for if you didn't like the guy saying woman. But you're the one that is saying that you're humiliating these kids in class, talking about miscarriages and bedwetting. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Melinda in San Antonio. Go ahead, Melinda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, ma'am. Earlier you made the remark that that doesn't stay with a child for their life. I beg to differ with you. I had a teacher 2 years in a row that grew up with my mother, hated my mother, and made fun of me for those whole 2 years. I'm 58 years old. And to this day, I can't stand that woman, and if I could see her again, I would tell her. It stayed with me, believe me. And it was even brought up at a reunion by the other kids about how bad they felt for me because that teacher picked on me like that.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. See, were you talking? Were you talking a lot in class?
Yes, she did it in class. In front of all the children.
No, I'm asking you, were you a troublesome child, is what I'm saying. What did
I wasn't a troublesome child. But
well,
she looked for
things. I'm not talking about that, am I? I'm talking about a kid that's, excuse my language, it's such a pain in the ass.
But you made the remark, ma'am, that it doesn't stay with a child, and it does stay with a child.
It doesn't stay with a child that knows he was wrong.
Yes, it does, ma'am.
Do anything wrong.
You cannot humiliate children.
Then you must
humiliation is just as bad as corporal punishment.
Well, wait. The lady is saying regardless of whether the kid did something wrong or not.
This lady must have did something wrong that she's all guilty about it.
No, she's not guilty about it. She said that the teacher, it stays with her.
You know, look, there are a lot of things that stay with us. This, a beautiful smell can stay with us, too. But there are reasons why things stay with us. Now, the children that I discipline, they deserve it. This lady said that she didn't deserve it, so maybe that's why she's all messed up in the head.
But this teacher was known for picking on children.
Yeah, see,
and
see,
even
I waited,
other, te- even
I
other teachers, even other
I waited
teachers.
For your answer.
And I had a son. Excuse me, I had a son.
I waited for.
Will you let the lady finish?
No, I waited for her answer. I knew she was going to say that. She's trying to worm her way out of it.
No, she's not. She's trying to say something here.
I had a son. I have a son that was ADD. And I even had a teacher making fun of him in class because he had to take medication. And I went to the administration, and that teacher had to give that child an apology. You're not supposed to give privileged information.
So because
shame
of what happened
you.
To you, so because of what happened to you, you took it out on another teacher. See, that's what happened here. This is a generational
thing. What
happened
to me?
Yeah, you took it out on another teacher because you feeling bad about what that teacher done to you. Now, I don't know if you deserved it or not, but you can't then turn around and start screaming at another teacher because you got your ass kicked.
I don't want to hear that word again.
Sorry.
Shame on you.
Shame on me.
Shame on you.
Tell you the truth.
Thank God you're retired. Thank God you're retired, because we don't need teachers like you. We need teachers that are there to uplift children.
I must have hit a nerve. Because
well, no, you haven't hit a nerve at all. All you're saying is, because this woman took the test, some teacher, you think, oh, that's got to be because she was picked on as a kid.
I told her, the kids that I pick on are ones that deserve it. That's all I'm saying. She said she didn't deserve it, so she must have got messed up in the head because of it. Ain't that right?
Oh, all right. Thanks very much for your call, ma'am.
Thank you.
877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Mike in Greensboro, North Carolina. Mike, go ahead.
Yes, I'm one of those students that you talked about that acted out in class. And, you know, I was always taught two wrongs don't make a right. And what you're doing is wrong, and you ain't teaching these kids any better to sit there and talk about.
You acted out in class. You should have been one of those kids that got his face slapped. But I wouldn't slap your face. I just talk about you wetting your bed. Did you wet your bed?
I'm not. Hold on.
Did you wet your bed?
No.
Let the man finish, okay?
I didn't wet your bed, didn't you? But I'm going to tell you one thing right now.
Did you play with roadkill?
My wife.
You played with roadkill.
Will you let the man finish?
I'm going to tell you one thing right now. My wife just had a miscarriage 6 months ago. And I'll tell you right now, if you would have told my daughter that, I'd have came down to the school and let you have it right in front of everybody.
That's
I ain't one of these people that are going to stand for that. That is wrong and disrespectful.
Somebody would have smacked you upside. That's why somebody should have smacked you when you was a kid, because you're violent.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, I wish you would raise a hand to me, because ain't nobody raised a hand to me in my life. And I don't care where you're from and how you were raised, but your parents should have beat you like a redheaded stepchild for how you're acting now.
Your father. I think your father beat you. That's your issue, isn't it?
You know, my point
is
two
issue.
Wrongs, plain and simple,
your
two wrongs don't make it right. You ain't teaching
your
these kids how
you.
To behave at all. You're making them worse than they already were, even if they have a problem. They're kids. They're going to grow up. They're going to learn from their mistakes.
Well,
you
don't know.
Them does not help them at
you
all.
Don't have
why
no
don't you go to a psychology
you
course? Do you have
no
a psychology? I got one question for you. Do
I
you have a psychology
school.
Degree?
I went to school. You didn't go to school. You flunked out of school, didn't you?
I flunked out of school,
because
really. I got a college education. I got a college education to run around business.
College.
What do you do
junior
right now
college
besides pick up
junior
kids?
College. No, junior college doesn't count.
I got a college education. I got a college education.
Degree.
I have a criminal justice degree, man. Do you want me to tell you something? I also have a psychology degree. And what you are doing is not doing anything to help these kids. You are making them worse. It's teachers like you who get kids to go out and join street gangs and start shooting other kids. It's your actions that are causing kids. Exactly.
And if I had you in my class, I would have been able to point out to you.
You
don't want your daddy beating you again now, do you?
Plain and simple.
You know what? You're talking over each other here, okay?
No, I'm saying that this guy, Mike, I would have said, Mike, your father hits you. Do you want him to do it again? That's what would have kept Mike quiet.
No, my parents.
You don't know anything.
Hold on, no, I'll admit it. My parents did punish me, but it is not your place to take the place. It is not your place to verbally abuse a child. That is actually against the law.
This man is admitting that his parents disciplined him that way.
No, his father beat him.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I finished high school with a 3-point, I flunked out of high school.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me finish. You said I flunked out earlier. I graduated with a 3-point. Hold on. You said your piece and graduated with a 3-point. You're all the way across the radio tonight. I graduated high school with a 3.98 GPA and college with a 3.87. I didn't flunk nowhere.
Well, did you actually go to a high school, or was it something that you phoned in? I mean, was it night school? How was that? GED? I don't know. Was it GED?
You ever heard of a college called Stanford?
I don't know. I've heard of a college. You went to the school down the street from that? That's a JC.
I'm from California, by the way, and I'll tell you right now.
You're from California?
The way you act.
But you didn't go to school in California.
Hold on. The way you act. Okay, as a teacher in California, you wouldn't have made it through as a teacher in California where I grew up. Because they would have ran you out of that classroom. I promise you that.
You never would have graduated from college.
I promise you that.
So I promise you that you would never graduate from college either.
All right, well, I don't know what exactly is being proved here. I mean, this gentleman doesn't like your methods.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to lie and say he got a college degree. I read guys like this. I saw him coming down the street 3 miles ago. His old man smacked him around. His mama, you know, poured urine on...
All right. The point is that we have here a lot of disagreement about your methods. Thank you very much, Mike. A lot of disagreement about your method, which is to humiliate children. And if you want to put it into a political context, Ms. Leonard, what we're talking about...
Yeah, my name is Ms. Leonard. What, did you forget? Did you think it was woman? Did you think it was, hey, you?
No, I didn't think it was any of those things.
Did you think it was, hey, old lady? Old lady, like that Frank Zappa song? Did you think it was that?
No, I didn't think it was any of those things. I'm saying that if you want to put it in a political context, we have parents who want to be more involved with the education of their children, more involved with the disciplining of their children. They're trying to keep their children in line. When you send them off to school and the child may have some issues, maybe they are being beaten at home. What about that? Maybe they are being abused at home. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they're acting out in class, because their home life is a mess. It has nothing whatsoever to do with a mother having a miscarriage or the fact that they wet their bed.
Mr. Henry, I have seen a long line of these storytellers. I hear all these people telling their stories. And
well, you think that this is a bunch of stories that they're telling? Here is a man who is talking about being abused by his parents. What do you think that does to a child, and then they have to go to school? I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine it. It makes me want to take every parent that ever beat a child and drown them like rats. Throw them off of a ship with cinder blocks tied around them. Anyone that would send a child off or greet a child at the end of the day with violence or abuse. I swear to God, there isn't, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't a punishment that's been invented yet for them.
Don't you sound kind of emotional too? Why don't you tell me a little bit about how...
You're not going to hear anything about how I grew up. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Is Chaka, I think it is, in Winston-Salem. Go ahead, Chaka.
Yes, Phil. The issue I have is I kind of understand, because I'm in education. I'm teaching a classroom myself, and I do understand how hard it is to control the classroom. But the issue I have in a modern-day context is that the issue that she's bringing forward with these kids, with the bedwetting and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
is exposing
mm-hmm.
information to other kids that can use this information to bully the kid further.
Right, exactly. That they mock them.
And
so the child shouldn't be, interrupting my class then. Why would a child do that? I tell that child, you keep your mouth shut. Well, I'm going to let everybody know that you play with roadkill.
You play with roadkill? Who is this kid?
You're telling me that I don't want to, expose the anonymity of a child. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you, I have one boy in my class that likes to play with dead animals. What do you think about that, Chaka? If you had a child play with a dead animal, you don't?
That's information that I wouldn't tell my class. I wouldn't expose to the classroom. That's information that I would expose or tell to the parent that it's something that needs to be dealt with. And I wouldn't expose that information to the classroom or the classmates just for a specific reason. The kids today are looking for information just like this.
Right. To bully
use
a kid.
Against the kids, to right. bully them. And it can lead to a whole bunch of other escalations. It can lead to fights. It can lead to physical threats. The kid, in defense of himself, can start to bring weapons to school because the information that you gave to the other kids is exposing him in all types of ways that he feels threatened, that he's going to have to protect himself because he feels threatened. That's one of the main issues I have with
him. I'll tell you this. I'm biding my time right now because I don't want to say nothing about that kid with the roadkill. Because I'm waiting to see if that child sets fire, you know.
Does what?
Sets, you know, lights fire. And then if he wets his bed. Because if you put those three together, we got ourselves a serial killer.
You're biding your time waiting for what?
I don't stutter. I said I'm biding.
I know you don't stutter. What did you say?
I said I'm biding my time waiting for that child to see if that child lights fires. And also with his bed. That's called a homicidal triangle. And if it does, guess what? Myself, I got a gold standard serial killer in my classroom.
And then what are you going to do?
Then I call the FBI.
So you're waiting around to see if this kid wets his bed and starts fires, and then you got the homicidal triangle, you call the FBI.
That's right.
Well, then what's the point of provoking this kid? And if you think he's a possible serial murderer in the future, why provoke him?
Well, there's nothing, Miss Beamer, you can't do nothing for him now. That kid's way gone. And what this gentleman Chalker talking about is trying to keep a kid on the straight and narrow. I'm talking about a kid that is gone. Lord, he's gone forever. And I'm just biding my time, see?
Anyway, sir, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you very much. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Ms. Leonard, for being on our program here tonight. I don't exactly know what to say about that last series of comments.
I'm biding my time. If I get me a gold standard serious, that I can quit this job. Guess what? I'm writing me a book like John Douglas. What's that man's name? Don Douglas?
Mindhunter John Douglas.
Just like Don Douglas.
Phil Henry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Last hour, you heard me just jump right out of my skin on matters not having to do with you or our guest or our callers or any of you fine people who listen to the show. It had to do with the technical has been so bad for so long that now it's starting to leak in order to get the... it was a situation where I couldn't call or couldn't hear the guest. It was news for it. Unprofessional. And all of my life in this business, if there's one thing that I've prided myself on, and one thing that that our show, there's a lot going on with this show. And if you go over to philhenryshow.com and you take a look at our website and you get a backstage pass, you'll know exactly what's going on with this show. Lots and lots and lots and lots of things. And in order for that, and if it's not there, then it's impossible. And the reason why much of what I'm saying now has come out on the air is because I have not gotten asking for it. And so it just comes someday. Let me tell you this. I guarantee you this. Someday, the entire story will come out of People Magazine, if they do. All right. Welcome back. This is our news and information hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Sorry, guys. I had to stop down for that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, I'm telling you, you don't ever want to have to deal with it. Our number 877-876-PHIL, although during our news and information hour, we rarely take phone calls, and the reason for that is simply we just don't have time, all right? There's too much to talk about, too much to comment on, too much to give some flavor to, not just to give you the story and the interpretation of the story, but, you know, Where's it all Does it mean anything? Is it important? For instance, is it important to talk about Obama every day? Probably not. Is it important to talk about politics every day? No. Is it important to talk... Now, here's one that, as a lover of law and order, this is a story that has struck the city of Los Angeles and and San Francisco and hopefully a lot of other cities. And this is a disgraceful episode that occurred at Dodger Stadium. And I have been a Dodger fan my whole life. And when you're a Dodger fan here in Los Angeles, you don't like the San Francisco Giants. That's just the one goes with the other. Generation after generation of Dodger fan and generation of Giant fan, we've hated each other. Not literally, but we've hated each other's teams. And it goes all the way back to the days in New York when the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants didn't like each other. The fans didn't like each other. Fans didn't like each other's teams. And as far back as when I was a little kid, the first thing when I was a Dodger fan, as a little 10-year-old, I didn't like the San Francisco Giants. I mean, I knew Willie Mays was great, but, you know, every time I saw him come to the plate, there's Willie and Orlando Cepeda, Willie McCovey. I didn't like any of those guys. Bobby Bonds, Barry's dad. And as a young man, I went out to the pavilion in left field and got hammered on beer back when they were selling beer in the pavilion. And we wore our Dodger helmets and we screamed at the Giants taking batting practice, taking fielding practice. I mean, this was, you know. And this kind of tension between the fan bases is an acceptable and it's an attractive thing for two ball clubs that are in business to attract fans to a point. To a point. I'm not. Please understand something. I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the Dodgers' fault. It's the Giants' fault that people get so bugged with each other that they decide to beat each other half to death. I'm not going there. Okay, because I've been around a lot of Dodger Giant baseball games through the years, and I've never, ever, ever heard of anything like this happening. Ever. And this man, a 42-year-old father of two from Santa Cruz, a paramedic. So in other words, someone who is a valuable member of society. You know, we've got a lot of garbage out there. There's no question. There are a lot of people out there that walk the streets that it wouldn't make any difference if they lived or if they died. It would probably do the whole world a service if they just dropped dead tomorrow. But this gentleman here, this man, Mr. Stowe, was not one of them, is not one of them. And I'm praying that as we read this story to you, he's still with us. Because he was beaten so badly, tonight we learned the doctors have had to relieve the pressure on his brain. This man is fighting for his survival, and the body is fighting infection. And, of course, one of the things that it does when it's fighting infection is it sends blood to the affected area. And when blood goes to your brain, the brain swells. And doctors know that they must relieve that pressure. And so that's what they've done with Mr. Stowe. Now, detectives in Los Angeles are looking into unconfirmed reports that the same suspects that struck other Giant fans minutes before the attack that left Brian Stowe in a coma, they also attacked other fans. These were a couple of drunken scum Dodger fans. They've got police portraits or a police sketch, I think, of two of them.
Yeah, they look like the two guys have been in their 20s.
One guy's got a mustache. They look to be Hispanic. Am I right about that?
Well, you better not say that's going to profile them.
That's not profiling them, bud.
That ain't profiling them. They already know that that's what they look like.
Well,
that's not profiling. That's what they're not just saying, we're looking for Hispanics because that's probably who did that. They're not saying that. They're saying that they've got it. They've ID'd these guys.
Yeah, but still, if you say they're Hispanic.
You got to say they're, if that's what the guys are, that's what they are. That's who they're looking for. They don't know their names. They know their relative ages. They know what they look like. They know the car that they drove off in. They know that they were with a 10-year-old kid. So they, I guess, were two older brothers or two uncles. I don't know what the hell they were. But Mr. Stowe was headed to a taxi stand after the Dodgers' 2-1 victory over the Giants on March 31st when two shaven-headed young men in Dodger clothing began taunting and swearing at him and two other fans who were also wearing Giants gear. Stowe was punched in the back of the head. He fell down, bashing his head on the pavement, and was kicked before the attackers ran off. They fled in a four-door sedan driven by a woman who had a boy with her. Composite sketches of the men have been released. The city council on Tuesday now have voted to offer a $50,000 reward for information leading to the arrests of these two pieces of garbage. And the Dodgers and the Giants have each kicked in. So the total is $100,000. $100,000. Money well spent. If there's anybody out there that knows where these individuals are, there's very, well, obviously they live in the L.A. area. There's a good description of the two of them. They've got a description of a tattoo, which is...
That's pretty big, man.
Because, yeah, tattoos are very distinctive.
Yeah, they nailed down a tattoo. That's pretty hard to get away from.
Unless the guy, what?
But you could have it removed.
Well, you're not going to have it removed, man. I mean, you could, but...
Look around for a guy with a big bandage on his arm, I guess. They estimate that out of some 40,000 people who streamed into the parking lot after the game, at least 100 people probably were near enough to see the attack, and Detective Jose Correa of the Los Angeles Police Department has urged people to contact the LAPD. It was too dark for video surveillance cameras to provide clear images. That's a... I guess that's something they're going to have to fix, huh?
Yeah, they're going to have video surveillance. They can't see it.
Well, it was in an area. It was a taxi stand. Now, there's no question in my mind, no question at all, that there was a verbal confrontation between these groups of fans. And I don't doubt that Mr. Stowe may have responded to whatever was being thrust his way, and that, in the minds of these two slobs, gave them carte blanche to do whatever it was that they wanted to do. I mean, fans are always jaw-jacking each other. I mean, that's just the nature of it. You're always giving each other a hard time. You're always giving each other crap. And, God, I've been at ball games, man, where I've sat next to guys wearing the opposite team's uniform. It's when people get so hammered, and some of these people cannot hold a drink to save their lives. They have a few beers, and all of a sudden they're just, I don't know, they think they're King Kong or something. And now they want to fight the world. And that's when the police got to get involved, and that's when, you know, some serious things can happen. And, of course, if it's just a group of drunks going at it, guy gets bloodied up, that's the end of that. The cops separate it. They take everybody up to wherever they got to go, up to the substation. But if it's out in a parking lot at night after the game, a dark parking lot, there's a man waiting for a cab, not looking for a fight, other than the fact that he's wearing his Giants uniform. He's wearing his Giants gear. And there ain't no law against that. Now, you know, we had the Raiders down here, and I'm going to say something that may piss some people off. I don't really care. We had the Raiders in Los Angeles, and I was a Raider fan in the 1970s, especially when they began to create the mythology of Raider Nation, commitment to excellence. I remember them when, man. I'm not talking about the 80s Raiders or the 90s or this version of the Raiders. I'm talking about when they had George Atkinson and Jack Tatum and Kenny Stabler, and they had Marv Hubbard, and they had Phil Villapiano, and they had Big Gene Upshaw, and they had Art Shell, and they had Daryl LaMonica, Warren Wells. These were the bad boys. These were the Pirates. These were the Raiders. And they developed this kind of anti-San Francisco, anti-49er East Bay image. And it was fun, and it allowed their fans to swagger around a little bit and be a part of that whole Pirate thing. But when they came to Los Angeles, they began to do something that Lenny Bruce warned against years and years ago. He said, never believe your own press. Don't you ever believe all the good stuff that people are saying about you, because it's horse crap. Well, the Raiders did not take that advice. They began believing in the idea that they were kind of pirates and they were kind of swaggering guys. And in other words, they weren't playing great football anymore so much as they were just pretending like they were playing great football. Take a look at the Raiders today. They stink. And their fans began to sniff this out, and they began to clone themselves in the image of the Raiders. And so they all became this sort of swaggering, very self-conscious and self-involved and self-aware bunch of fantasy land freaks with their Darth Vader masks and their stupid, silly, asinine Raider Nation mentality. So in other words, they began to look in the mirror and they saw that pirate. They didn't just go out and play football, and the fans didn't just come out and appreciate a good football game. And now they believe themselves to be bigger than a football game. They were like some tribe. And the result being, when they were here in Los Angeles, there were some horrific fights. There were terrible brawls. There were real scum going to the games. You didn't want to take your kids to the games. You didn't want to go down to the Coliseum anymore. I mean, I used to go to the Coliseum and watch the Rams. That's how old I am, when I was a kid. SC, UCLA, we saw it all down there. Coliseum was the track meets, the Times track, outdoor track meets, all that stuff. You didn't want to go down to the Coliseum anymore. It was a disgusting hole. You know. And this city of Los Angeles, which was at one time considered to be a respite from this kind of horrific behavior, you know, man, we got to rope this stuff in. And I tell you right now, I know a lot of people listen to me from around the country, but if anybody listens to me now in L.A., anywhere in L.A., and you know who these two pieces of crap are, you know, you do them a favor by turning them into the police. You do them a favor because somebody's going to recognize them, and there won't be a cop around. There won't be a cop around. And that might not be good for them. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, what do you see? You seeing somebody going to kill him and stuff?
I didn't say anything, did I?
Never mind, man.
I didn't say anything. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, philhenryshow.com, of course. Dancing with the Stars. What happened to Kirstie Alley? She fell down, or her partner fell down, and suddenly, now people, the poor girl, they're saying she was too fat. We'll hear about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Climate change costing deer.
Is that CNN you're looking at? What is that?
Please go. It's called Talk Planet.
Yeah. It's when you talk about the planet.
Oh, get out of here. You know, I said it before and I'll say it again because there's something rotten in Denmark, man.
No, this is like the Arctic Circle.
Oh, God, that's funny.
What?
It's a saying, something rotten in Denmark. Is that the Arctic Circle? Really?
Yeah.
Or is it just, does it just look like the Arctic Circle and it's Norway or something? It's those deer, man, that's got to be like Norway or some weird place like that. Not weird place, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. Are those deer, man? What the hell are those?
Yeah, those are like a different kind of deer, man, like a whitetail or something like that.
Well, in any event, the point that I'm making here is I really believe this. I think that in 10 years there's going to be stories popping up about the great climate change hoax. And how that, yes, there was some information that was good, but not as bad as we thought it was. And you know where I get this? You know where I get this from? I get it from my knowledge of how media works and my knowledge of how very quickly people are influenced by media and then work to, put into practice certain beliefs that they have that have simply been reinforced by media. But the hard data sort of trails behind that. And where do I get that knowledge from? The Cold War. Hey, that's right. Any of us that grew up during the Cold War, and I did, we heard that the commies, oh, baby. Now, there's no question that the commies, that was nowhere that we wanted to be. We don't want any commie around here. Get out of here with commie. It's godless. It's crap. Take a look at them, man. They're standing around. The thing that hit home with me and probably most Americans and probably most people living in the world of the free world were the lines around the block to buy a loaf of bread. You know, who wants to live in that? Had nothing to do with the godless. And yeah, it was godless. And the idea that you couldn't worship religiously, I mean, that was just so foreign especially being raised Catholic, how does that work? And nobody can vote, and they just seemed like what they were sold as, this faceless horde of Asiatics, Euro-Asiatics in the case of the Russians, with their big beetle brows and their cheap-ass-looking suits and their goofy-looking cars and their medals hanging there on their jackets. And in the way they talked, and they were all as, hey, drinking the vodka and slapping you on the back. You didn't know one day to the next, what the hell, who are these guys? And then movies like, you ought to see a movie that was very, very popular in the early 60s called The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. And it was starring Alan Alda, or no, what's the guy, Carl Reiner?
I don't know who that is.
Well, Carl Reiner, just never mind. Carl, you would know, he was in Ocean's 12.
Oh, yeah, the old man.
The old man in Ocean's 12, yeah. But he also was in the Dick Van Dyke Show. Anyway, Carl Reiner, and his wife was Maureen O'Hara, I think. Anyway, this was a movie, very well done, by the way, and hysterically funny. Jonathan Winters was in it. A lot of great comics were in it. Very funny. It was on the lines of It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, except instead of them running for money, it was a small vacation town on Long Island, and the people are there for the summer. And they're enjoying their lives and, having a ball. And meanwhile, a Russian submarine runs aground. And they didn't mean to. Oh, I know. Alan Arkin was the captain of the Russian submarine. And it's a big, tall, good-looking blonde actor. I don't know who he was. I think he's an American actor who played the love interest of the American chick. So that was,
Oh, yeah, I see that, man. So they got like the Russian guy and an American girl.
Yeah, they had a little love thing, the Russian guy and the American girl. And the Russian submarine runs aground, and the story is of these poor these poor Russian sailors trying to find a boat powerful enough to pull them off the sandbar so they can get the hell out of there. They made a mistake. They should never have been as close in, but they wanted to get a good look at America. And they're looking through the periscope, and they wanted to look at all the cars, and they wanted to see the country. They run aground, and the movie is about how these poor guys, these sailors, are looking for a boat to pull them off the sandbar, and how eventually the people in this village help them and realize they aren't such bad guys. And the U.S. Navy, meanwhile, gets word that they're there and they're going to blow them out of the water. It's pretty interesting. But the Cold War was a period of time where we were told that there were a lot of capabilities on the other side that they didn't quite have. Well, I'm getting the same sense with this climate change baloney. All right, Kirstie Alley and this man, Shmerkovsky. We'll find out what happened to her or him, or is she that fat? We don't know. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, Kirstie Alley and Maxim Shmerkovsky. Maxim Shmerkovsky. They fell on Dancing with the Stars. That is the story. That's the headline. And mean-spirited tweets blame the fall on Alley's weight. She may have leaned a little too much on Dancing with the Stars partner Maxim Shmerkovsky during their rumba on Monday night, leading to the painful tumble the pair took in the ballroom. Shmerkovsky, her professional partner on the show, whom the judges like to call the shirtless wonder, said that his thigh gave out and he experienced a Charlie horse during the routine. Before they performed, Ali said the dance was supposed to reflect a really difficult time in her life when she lost her mother in a car accident during the 1980s. Perhaps Ali's saying it showed the agony and the ecstasy was live television's version of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The sweet dance set to Israel, forgive me, I can't even pronounce this man's name, and it looks like it's Hawaiian.
Yeah, no, it's Russian. Come on, I want to lay you.
What do you mean, come on, I want to lay you? That's Kamala,
it's called Kamalulava.
But whatever, forgive me, sir, if you're still with us, I can't pronounce, it's called Over the Rainbow is the song. Did he, Israel Kamalulu or something?
I guess so, yeah.
Anyway, it started off serenely dramatic until the thigh issue. Shmerkovsky struggled to get back to get up and back on count after taking a few seconds to recover. It was sweet. He just looked at me and said, let's keep dancing, Allie told E. And I thought, I like that. I have the best partner. And we have some audio, and we also have a video of this, and I can certainly play for you the audio. We are showing video of the dance here on Phil TV in HD. So we'll just roll this, and people can – we'll take a look at this, first of all, and we'll also listen to some of the audio that we have. But they start off dancing with the stars, and this is, by the way, courtesy of ABC, the video that we're looking at. They start off dancing slowly. He's back walking backwards and dragging her left leg, and then he tries to turn her around, and he falls. It's not a very embarrassing fall. Doesn't look like it anyway. He tried to make a turn, and you can see his thigh give out, and then he tries to turn her, and then they just fall on their rear ends. After leaning too much on her partner, Kirstie Alley takes a tumble. That's what the judgment was. And Mr. Schmerkovsky explains what happened when asked by host Tom Bergeron.
You had a bit of a challenge there. You okay, Max? What happened?
My thigh just gave out. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Let's see. In the post-dance interview with co-host Brooke Burns, Schmerkovsky says Kirstie Alley wasn't to blame for the tumble.
My thigh just gave off. Any dancer would know. It happens, muscle strains and all of that. But it has nothing to do with her. I just want to apologize.
Now, Kirstie, how hard is it to pick up the pieces after that and to get back up and finish your dance?
It wasn't hard. I just didn't know where to start. It's funny because we've done it a million times.
Right? Well, those kind of things happen. It's a live show, and you know what? You handled it
is
really
it a
well.
Live show? That's great. Judge Len Goodman and Bruno Tognoli review the dance.
Well, dancing is a bit like life. It's about overcoming adversities. And, you know, you overcome it. You got up, you dusted yourself off, and you came back stronger. Well done.
All right, Bruno.
Oh, yes, Kirstie. You can't keep good talent down. Because I'm telling you, once you got up, it was better than ever.
Sure.
You don't think so?
They're being nice to them. Whatever. Poor Kirstie Alley. I mean, if she hadn't had that weight issue, and that's what everybody was tweeting about, that she was so fat that it busted his leg or it snapped his knee. You heard the guy. He says, it was me. And whether it was or not, that's what he says. So we'll take... He's a gentleman. Okay. Anyway, better luck next time, guys. That was Dancing with the Stars, and we did play you that clip. I hope you saw it. It didn't look all that dramatic at all, man. It just was him walking backwards, you know?
Yeah, it looked like it did. It happened what he said it happened. That he walked back, tried to turn her, and the thigh give out.
Yeah, it looked like the right thigh.
Yes, the right thigh. Thank you, boys. All right. In other news, a judge has barred the Confederate flag. A judge has ruled that the Confederate flag can be featured on a Florida license plate. The DMV will not comply yet. What does that mean? Well, a judge has said you can put the Confederate flag on Florida license plates. The Department of Motor Vehicles says that, they haven't said, but they will not comply as of yet. Now, Florida's Sons of Confederate Veterans Commander Douglas Dawson says he's elated with the judge's ruling on the group's effort to create a special license plate. A federal judge, John Antoon, ruled a section of state law limited the First Amendment rights of the Sons of Confederate Veterans when they applied for the specialty plate several years ago. Antoon said the law unlawfully gave the Florida legislature the ability to decline an application for a specialty license, blah, 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 blah. Now, I know that there are some people that think this is a Southern issue. This has got nothing to do with the North. Well, you know, I've had these arguments with these people before, and I'm not going to... I recognize one overriding reality right now. When it comes to certain issues... And they're the most boring issues because they've been talked out and the logic has been applied and the lessons have been given and I don't know. But there's just certain issues that people will always be at loggerheads about, and it's going to take a lot of people dying. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean, you know, violently. I mean it's going to take the passage of time. And the, quite frankly, the thick-headed people among us have got to die and go away. I may be one of them, you know. I mean, I'm sure I'm one of them when it comes to certain issues. I'm one of those thick-headed guys that keeps things from happening. You know, I'm one of those people that, for some people, is standing in the way of the thing that they really want, feel that they're entitled to, should have, and if it was these stupid idiots that stand in our way. Okay. Now, I believe in the I believe in individual freedom, and I believe in an individual's ability to express himself. I know we also have a sticky wicket when it comes to certain symbols in this country. The Nazis, the Confederate flag. I know there's a lot of people who think that's very, very unfair to say. How could you dare? Why would you say something like that? It's a horrible thing. We're not the Nazis. I understand that. I know that but certainly the descendants of the Confederates, you could not even close to say that they're Nazis. I would say that groups like this, the Sons of the Confederate Veterans, they believe in, they like, I'm saying this with great respect, they like the romance of the times. They like the idea that there were people who believed so strongly in their, they were Americans that believed so strongly in something that they were willing to go to war for it. Okay, and I'll give you all of that. But, you can't talk to them about, like, for instance, okay, you're from the South? Yeah, you know that there's black people from the South, too. Well, now, you know there were black folks that they went into the Confederate Army, too. Well, if you looked into the history of that, you'll know that it was not a rush to enlist in the Confederate Army. In many cases, they were slaves that were promised freedom only if they enlisted in the Confederate Army. In many cases, these were slaves that followed their masters into service. There was no African slave in the South, or African-American slave in the South, that was eager to go to war and to continue fighting for his own enslavement. That just didn't happen. The Confederacy, toward the end of the war, did debate the legitimacy of slavery. That's what they did in their Confederate Congress. There were very strenuous debates. Should we even continue this thing called slavery? Even if we win and we are able to establish the Confederate States of America as a legitimate country, do you think we really need to keep slavery? And that was not an easy call. And there were some vigorous debates about that. But the fact is that to some people who are the descendants of Southerners, and they happen to have black skin, and I don't know if that matters at all to other Southerners, who would be white Southerners, I guess. I don't know if that matters at all. But it just so happens that to most of those people, this Confederate flag is not a very attractive thing. They don't want to see it. They don't like it. And it represents something else. Now, they're Southerners. They're not Northerners.
Well, what do you mean by Southerner, though?
They come from the South, man. What kind of question is that?
Well, I know, but I mean, are they really Southerners, or?
Well, if their families are from there.
Yeah, but they're originally Africa.
No, man, hey, they were born in America, man.
All right, let me do this. Bud, everybody originally came from somewhere. These are black people whose families go back 500 years. They were born in this country, and another generation, another generation, another generation, another generation. They probably go back further than your family. If you want to look at the black Southerner, their families probably go back further than any white families in that area. If you really want to get into it. So to say that this is Southern culture, no, you're wrong. But I'm going to say the following thing.
Then he should not have it.
I'm not even going to say that. Because this debate has been going on for so long that this generation of Americans is going to solve it. People are going to have to die, and new people are going to have to be born, and smarter people are going to have to be born. I'm not saying that we're stupid, but on this issue, we're stupid. It's like we're stupid on a lot of issues that we can't seem to figure out. We're still fighting about that abortion thing. Holy God. And I mean, we are some real thick-headed clowns when it comes to that, when it comes to this, when it comes, there's a few issues here. The whole idea of I swear to God, I mean, this notion of factionalism in political parties, how many times do you want to hear people say, there's too much gridlock, before you realize they don't really mean it? So it's going to take another generation or two or three of Americans to be born, and all of the dumb genes have to get washed out,
So you say, who's dumb?
I think it's pretty stupid, as the man once said, the definition of insanity is knowing something's wrong and doing it over again. I think it's pretty thick to say that you're tired of gridlock and you're tired of factionalism and you're tired of this nonpartisanship, but to keep engaging in it. I think that's just flat stupid. And I don't think anybody's going to be convinced otherwise. I don't think any people that are engaged in it are going to be convinced that it's wrong until they're dead and buried and a whole new generation of Americans are born who get it. Because this generation of Americans is not the generation of Americans that will do away with nonpartisan politics. This is not it. I mean, we're good at some things. I mean, and one of these nights we can have a debate or a discussion on what it is that this generation, when I say this generation, let's just call it the post-war, or if you will, the whiz kid generation from the mid-1950s on, maybe 1960s on. We did not figure a lot of stuff out. As much as we like to kiss our own asses and talk about how wonderful we are, we have not figured out the big issues like that. We got to get back to figuring out how to raise kids. But I don't know, when we'll get everything squared away. But there's some things we may know how to do. I don't know what they are. But one of them is not solve the abortion debate. One of them is not solve the whole bipartisanship thing. One of them is not figuring out the Confederate flag. I mean, those are the things. We can't get that done. You know.
What about world peace?
Nah, world peace ain't going to happen with us either. You know, there comes a time you just have to take a look in the mirror and say, this is the world that I'm a part of. Look at me. I'm part of this this 21st century, you know, this post-war coming of age in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Stepping lightly in the 21st century. What are we capable of doing, this generation of Americans? Well, it sure ain't this, and this, because it ain't going to happen. So forget it. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget philhenryshow.com for a live streaming video of the show. Police use pepper spray on an 8-year-old kid. Did they go too far? Who cares? And we'll talk about that.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show and a police. This is a story of cops using pepper spray on an 8-year-old boy after a temper tantrum. I don't know, maybe the kid deserved it. Well, let's listen. When most kids throw a temper tantrum, they get a timeout. In 8-year-old Aiden's case, he got pepper sprayed. A Lakewood police report details the second grader's violent temper tantrum in a classroom. It happened on February 22nd. I heard this story already.
Yeah, it's an old story, but it's an update.
According to the report, Aiden was spitting at teachers. He also broke wood trim off the walls and was trying to stab teachers with it. The report goes on to say, and this is a report, by the way, from who? Police report, okay. The report goes on to say that Aiden was holding what looked like a sharpened one-foot stick, and he screamed, "Get away from me, you effers."
Sound like Linda Blair.
It does sound a little bit like Linda Blair. So, you know, Lakewood police officers ordered the 8-year-old. What do you mean, Linda Blair? You mean the kid in Exorcist?
Yeah.
That ain't Linda Blair.
Yeah, it was.
That's the actress. That the kid was something else.
Oh, yeah, the kid's name was, like, Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
It wasn't Ronald Reagan. It was Reagan something. Anyway, Lakewood police officers ordered the 8-year-old to drop the stick. When he refused, they sprayed him with pepper spray twice until he dropped the piece of wood and was handcuffed. Aiden's 4 feet tall and 82 pounds. So what? I wanted to make something sharp if they came out because I was so mad at them, Aiden said. I was going to try to whack them with it. According to the police report, that's what you do. Stick a mic or a pen and pencil in front of a kid and see if you're going to get a straight answer. You know, these cops can't win. Here's a little boy that is obviously having some serious sugar reaction, man. I don't know what.
Probably gave him a Milky Way.
Whoever fed this kid lunch. Now, if the cops grab this kid without pepper spraying him, they just, you know, somehow grab him, and that's, you know, no, you're right, it's not a hard thing to do. It's a very easy thing to do. In fact, it's so easy, with an 82, and this is what people don't seem to get, with an 82-pound, 4-foot-tall kid, it's so easy that the cops wouldn't have any problem, but the kid might get hurt. For instance, a kid that is really wiggling and squirming around wildly, there's no doubt in my mind. A kid like that could dislocate a shoulder. You could break a bone. You could sprain something. You could mess this kid up just by trying to grab a hold of a kid that is so out of control, he wants to take on cops. Now, what's going on in a kid's head that's 8 years of age and he wants to stab a cop? There's something real wrong. So you don't have to pepper spray him. You can grab him, but don't think for a minute that this child is going to be exhibiting normal behavior once he, you know, a police officer's got a hold of him. I wanted to make something sharp if they came out because I was so mad at them. According to the police report, the boy was later treated on the scene for a red, irritated face. You bet. Now, here comes the mother. Oh, now we're going to, here we go. This is great. Now, we're going to hear from mom about what a sweet little boy he is, what a fantastic, example of the human race this kid is, and those lousy cops. 8-year-old Aiden, here is the kid first, telling Channel 9 News why he broke wood trim. Well, we already heard him. So here is Lakewood Police spokesman Steve Davis defending the use of pepper spray because the out-of-control Aiden was scaring the teachers with this weapon.
They were so frightened of this 8-year-old child. The officers told him to drop it. He wouldn't. Our officers had to do something to defuse the situation in a hurry before someone got hurt. And I think the officers made a great choice that day in choosing the pepper spray.
All right, so I guess we don't hear from the mom, you know.
Well, you know, she's going to say the same thing like you said.
She'll probably, you know, talking about what a great kid he is. Anyway, according to the mother, Aiden's mother, whose last name 9 News has chosen not to disclose, she believes the Lakewood police officer should have handled the situation differently, of course. She says police were called on her son at school twice before, and both times the officers were able to talk to her son and calm him down. Is that right? So two times before, they've had cops out to the school. This is a serious problem. This is a serious problem that involves you, Mandy, and whoever the husband, the father of this child is. This is a problem that is not the cop's problem. This is your problem. 8 years old and they've had the cops on this kid three times? Here's what the mother says. She says, I'm sure what he was doing wasn't right, but he's 8 years old. He's not a normal 8-year-old kid. They've had to call the cops three times on him. You're sure what he was doing wasn't right? You better believe it. They walked in, asked him to drop the stick, and then pepper sprayed him with the spray. I think it's excessive. Excessive? Calling the cops three times is excessive. What the hell is this mother doing to figure this situation out with this kid? This kid's in a public school. He's supposed to be in school. That means we have to throw this problem on top of the teachers and all the other problems that they got. You know, I honest to God, it amazes me that some people don't get it about teachers. Lakewood police spokesman Steve Davis defended the officers. You just heard what he said. Well, we'll try to follow up in the future on this nice little boy, Aiden. Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, also available at philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.